Welsh rugby legend Gareth Thomas is about to star in a BBC documentary entitled Gareth Thomas Game Changer. The programme looks at his career and the reaction from friends, family and former players when he came out as the world's first openly gay rugby player. In a moment, we're going to discuss how difficult it is to come out as gay in Northern Ireland. But first, I've been speaking to Gareth about why he decided to tell his story. We started by talking about how Gareth told his wife he was gay.
Well, I just went home one day. I'd been doing a rugby academy and I just went home one day and sat it down because I felt there was so much chaos. And at that stage in my life, I didn't care if I lived or died because I felt I was worthless for what I was doing to other people anyway. As far as everybody else was concerned, I had everything in life. You know, I had a beautiful wife. I played rugby for Wales. I was captain of my country. I played for Toulouse. I'd won all these medals. So it's difficult for them to contemplate why is he in such a tough position.
I see it. And when you say those words to your wife, I'm gay, how does she react?
There was probably more of a shock. It's a confusion because, you know, one thing I learned as well is I've known Gemma nearly all my life. So, and it took me nearly 20 years to be able to kind of accept who I was. So for me to tell somebody this and expect them to kind of be okay with it and say, oh, you know what, it's fine, I'm glad you told me, it's a real selfish thing for me to think. So, you know, there was tears, there was questions, there was confusion, and it took us some time together. You know, we went back to France and lived together to be able to come to terms with it, because, you know, I had, for the first time in my life, had told somebody the most precious secret that I felt I had, and something that could, you know, help me live a life kill my life.
So she stayed living with you at that stage?
Yeah,
she didn't walk out.
Yeah, the thing is, we stayed together, and again, this is why I think Gemma was such a great person, because, you know, we'd been married for so long and we'd had a whatever you may think of the marriage or other people think of it, we had an amazing time together. You know, we had good times, we had bad times, just like any other marriage. You know, it's difficult to just walk and leave everything you've created. I got married because I loved her, and that was the end of it. When you find out, then all of a sudden, maybe a part of that person that you didn't know, then maybe it takes time, not so much fallout of love, but fallout of the connection and the attraction that you had to that person.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when she leaves you, you almost have a nervous breakdown. So you fall apart.
Yeah.
Nervous breakdowns are nearly talked about so often these days that they roll off the tip of tongues and go over people's heads.
But, yeah.
You know, what can you describe what it was for you?
For me, it was a combination of loneliness and feeling like my life was out of my control, because all of a sudden the secret that I had kept, that was mine, that was the secret to my being able to live or my wanting to die, was now in the hands of somebody else and potentially in the hands of other people. That brings a fear with it. And then the fear of being alone and still only having told Gemma and not being ready to tell anybody else, to tell my close friends or anybody else, the fear of them finding out from other people, and how do you get to them by telling them, but when you're not ready to tell them, how do you do that? So there was just a huge confusion of all of a sudden me not being in control of my life.
And you wanted it to end?
Massively. I just, you know, there was no, you know, I'd seen the effects that it had on Gemma. I'd seen how it hurt her, and then I just imagined how much everybody else would be hurt by it. And I didn't want to see all that because of something that I'd done. And at the time, I didn't hold myself in any esteem at all anyway. So for me, it did feel like the easiest thing to do was to, as I call it, I didn't like to say die, but as I called it, I just wanted to close my eyes and never have to open them again.
Well, we're going to bring you the full interview with Gareth Thomas later in the week. The former Alliance Party Executive Director, Jerry Lynch, came out as gay many years ago. Good morning to you, Jerry.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. How difficult is it in Northern Ireland?
I think a lot depends on the messages you've picked up about being gay from family and friends growing up. It's certainly a defining moment in every gay or lesbian person's life, but for some people it isn't very difficult and family are very welcoming. For some people it means effectively being disowned by their family and some of their friends.
When did you come out? What year was it, Jerry?
1990, I think I came out to my mum in the spring of 98, but I actually came out in my circle of friends the year before that.
I know that I would have been a very different place even back then, as recently as then, very different.
I say it, a lot depended then, as it does now, on the environment you're growing up in. So I was from inner city Belfast. My family weren't particularly religious. I hadn't picked up many homophobic messages growing up. My mum had gay friends, so it was easier for me than it was for a lot of other people. I found it nerve-wracking. I put off telling my mum lots of times, and I never actually brought myself to tell the dad I left her to do that. But actually, once I'd done it, I realised I'd never had anything to worry about. So that's part of what I want to say as well, Stephen. This is a really terrible experience for some people, but actually it's a very positive experience for lots of young lesbian and gay people, even in Northern Ireland.
What does it do to you when you do come out? What sense does it give you within yourself?
You don't have to keep secret about one of the most important things in your life anymore. It's liberating. The only thing I can compare it with is sometimes the sense you have after a very, I mean, as a Christian, very deep confessing conversation with God, and that sense of liberation and freedom from the things that have been worrying you that has come before, and coming out is an experience of that intensity.
And yet Northern Ireland would still be, if you look around the UK, let's look around the UK, Gerry, Northern Ireland would still, I think it's probably fair to say, be the least accepting place.
Oh, unquestionably. And for example, when we have gay pride marches, there are now three in Northern Ireland. The one in Newry doesn't have any opposition at all, but the one in Derry and the one in Belfast face very significant protests in Belfast from two separate groups of conservative evangelical Christians. We also have politicians who revel in their opposition to homosexuality in a way you couldn't imagine in Britain. You know, even UKIP wouldn't use the sort of messaging that's quite common in bits of Northern Ireland politics. So there's no doubt Northern Ireland is a much more difficult place to be gay than anywhere else, but not impossible. And I say a lot depends on who your friends are, what job you do, what environment you're in. There are lots of gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender people in Northern Ireland living very happy, very open, very fulfilled lives, and not regularly facing prejudice. I think it's very important to say that to the young people who are listening to this programme and maybe very much afraid because they're gay and being told by the people around them that it's going to lead them to have a terrible future. It really isn't. It really isn't. I think it's really important to say that.
You're now living in England, working for the Church of England. Do you not feel that you could work for a church in Northern Ireland?
Well, how would I put this? Nobody ever says you're disbarred for things. There are a small number of gay people who are working in church jobs, although in my experience, they're either ancillary secretarial type jobs or in retail, where actually the law would be very clear that churches couldn't discriminate, or for particular, not directly churches, but Christian organisations that are known to have a very liberal ethos. But my experience in Northern Ireland was mysteriously never being shortlisted for anything. And once I'd made up my mind that maybe I had to go to England, I think I was shortlisted for every job I was applied for and got a fairly senior position in no time at all. So it's one of these things, you can't prove anything, and everybody has a smile on their face and reassures you how totally opposed to homophobia they are. But at the same time, you know, a lot of them really wouldn't have a queer about the place. And it's quite nasty, passive-aggressive stuff, actually.
You think it's still like that?
In Northern Ireland? Oh, yeah. I mean, I only left Northern Ireland last year. It hasn't changed in the past 15 months. Yeah, it's still like that. There are, though, I want... Can I give you two stories, Stephen? Because I know you like stories. And these are the best and the worst of what's happening in Northern Ireland. So I was home for a couple of weeks, seeing family and friends at the start of September. It happened to coincide with Newry Pride. I was down there, went down there for the day. Great day out, lovely weather. It's always a nice day out. And behind where I was on the parade, there were a group of six formers from St. Paul's High School in Bessbrook, so a little country secondary school in South Armagh, on the Pride Parade with some of their teachers. And most of these kids weren't gay, but they wanted to make it, they wanted to be part of saying it was okay. They wanted to be part of being an accepting, tolerant society. I was really moved by that, actually. I thought, you know, things have changed in Northern Ireland. So that's the positive side. The negative side, one of the last things I did before I came over here last year was attend a fringe meeting at Church of Ireland General Synod. And there was a young lad there in his early 20s. He wasn't brought up in a Church of Ireland church, but in another very small denomination in Belfast. In the late 2000s, when I was very openly gay as a fairly public figure and didn't think there was a problem with it, and when he told his family and his pastor that he was gay, what they said was, well, you can make this disappear if you try hard enough. And what it was suggested to him that he did was put an elastic band around his wrist. And they said every time he had a dirty thought about a boy, he should give the elastic band a snap. And this would act as a kind of amateur aversion therapy. And needless to say, it didn't work. And within 6 months, his wrist was a mass of bruised flesh. And he moved on from that to more serious self-harm and sticking knives in his wrist and stuff like that. Very common, actually. Self-harm is tragically common among young gay people in Northern Ireland. And this myth that homosexuality can be changed, that it can be prayed away, that it can be counselled away, is still pushed by far too many people in Northern Ireland. And it leads to huge damage among young people, real damage, serious self-harm, serious psychological trauma and suicide among young people. And there are also situations like Gareth Thomas's, which you just heard, which aren't all terrible, but often are, where men, well, gay men and women, get married to a partner of the opposite sex because they've been told all you need to do is meet the right girl, and when you settle down, you'll stop having feelings about people of the same gender. And again, that doesn't work. And often that leads to marital breakdown years later, huge problems for children. And of course, a spouse, a husband or wife, a heterosexual husband or wife, that feels completely used and betrayed. So,
Jerry,
this really messes up people's lives and it really needs to stop.
Jerry, we'll leave it there. But thank you very much indeed for talking to us today.